Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan.
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Good afternoon and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this afternoon, but we've got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. You are listening to Dueling Tangents on the Civic Media Network of Stations here in Madison, and Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, and in Wisconsin Rapids on locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I did not mention Bull Falls Radio because today launches the new show for Chad Holmes. The Chad Holmes Show will be broadcasting every day, Monday through Friday, that is, every weekday, from 2 to 4 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio. So if you are tuning in on this network of stations, you have another option of locally grown products that you can listen to here on the Civic Media Network. Chad Holmes will be hosting that show for Northern Wisconsin, Marathon County, in the Wausau area on Bull Falls Radio. But if you want to join me, the phone lines are open all hour long, 844-967-2789. Back from the Labor Day weekend on a Tuesday that feels like a Monday, getting the dust off after, you know, some of us unplugged over the weekend. Evan, how about yourself, man?
100%. The first time in a long time, I did very little.
That's good to hear, man.
Yeah, man. It's, it was nice.
Very good to hear. And it's a nice long day weekend. three-day weekend, excuse me.
Which is super long. Let's be clear. I haven't had three consecutive days. It's been a long,
It's been a while is what you're saying for you. Yes, and I want to thank William Walter for filling in on Friday.
By the way, that was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, we had a great time.
Good. He messaged me shortly after he got off the air, said that he really appreciated it. So, and I appreciate him filling in for Brian and I on Friday so we could. Brian, I know, was down in Chicago, I believe, for the filming.
Doing secret stuff. Movie.
Yeah, doing some secret stuff. Well, he's doing some. He's making sure that he keeps his acting chops exercised. That's what it was. It was just routine acting for the big guy down in Chicago on Friday, but it allowed me to get up to Door County a little bit earlier. I got everything set up. Tent was ready to go, and then, boom, got rained on that first Friday night, and that was it. That was the extent of the bad weather up in Door County, on the Door County Peninsula throughout this weekend. So I had to deal with a little bit of rain. It was kind of a bit of rain for a short period of time on that Friday night into Saturday morning, but enjoyed the weekend off. Want to hear if you had some great Labor Day activities over this past long weekend. You can share them with Evan and I, 844-967-2789. President Joe Biden was in town. He was in Milwaukee for Labor Fest yesterday. He gave a speech. It was broadcast here on the Civic Media Network as well. And so if you missed any portion of that, I believe we have it saved and it's going to get podcasted and you'll be able to reference it. But it was a good Labor Day all around. Hope you out there in the listening audience enjoyed a little time off if you got some. And if you didn't, because you're a laborer, I want to appreciate your work and all the sacrifice that you and organized labor has done for the country, making sure that America was built, as the president said yesterday. Unions built the middle class, and the middle class built America. And so we would not have had yesterday without labor, and I want to thank everybody out there in the listening audience. I want to catch up on some of the headlines that you may have missed if you were tuning out for the Labor Day weekend. Because unofficially, now that we're back from Labor Day, this is when everybody says the political season really starts to heat up. And so we have two pretty big elections here in the state of Wisconsin this November for both governor and U.S. Senate. And so these are going to be the two races. There's a lot of other important races out there as well. I know down ballot races are very important, and we'll talk about those consistently here on Dueling Tangents from now until November. But the two top line, the two that a lot of people are focusing in on, incumbent Governor Tony Evers and challenger construction businessman Tim Michaels, going up against each other for the governorship. of Wisconsin, and then U.S. Senator Ron Johnson breaking his pledge, running for a third term, and he is being challenged by current Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes for that bid for U.S. Senate. And on Friday, I saw this and I was checking out, so I really didn't have a whole lot of thought to it, to put towards it then. But the headline that I want to catch, where we're going to start in catching up from unplugging from the weekend and getting back into the swing of things for this political season, is last Thursday, President Joe Biden gave a speech in Philadelphia talking about how some on the right, some Republicans, not all Republicans, not all Republican voters, not all Republican officials, but there is a faction of Republicans that he referred to as MAGA Republicans last Thursday. Over the weekend, he referred to them as Trumpies in some sort, in some sense. And so he's not referring to all Republicans. He's not referring to all conservatives. But there is a group out there that are seeking, and he's given them essentially the label of MAGA Republicans. And he outlined the threats that not believing in the 2020 election results, the consistent and constant attempt to overturn the 2020 election results. Over the weekend, the former guy was implying that he should be reinstated right now. And really fascistic claims by the former guy. And when last Thursday, President Joe Biden referred to these MAGA Republicans as semi-fascists, a lot of media figures claimed that he was going too far. It was too divisive. It was not a presidential speech. It was a political speech, and he shouldn't have done it that way.
Come on.
And talking about how this rhetoric needed to be toned down.
Okay, guys. Simmer down now. Come on now.
And last Thursday, so that was the speech given last Thursday night.
Man.
And instead of toning it down, Tim Michaels, Republican candidate for governor here in Wisconsin, took a kind of a different approach to it. And this was the headline last Friday, as myself and many Wisconsinites were tuning out for the long Labor Day weekend. Tim Michaels calls for pitchforks and torches after story on his giving to anti-abortion and other groups. This piece written up by Scott Bauer, originally over at the Associated Press. I'm reading it from the Wisconsin State Journal's website, madison.com. And so you get one on Thursday night, you have the president of the United States saying that there is some Republicans out there that want to sow doubt and still in the 2020 election, make it harder to vote in Wisconsin, or and not just in Wisconsin, this faction of elected officials and conservative members that are trying to crack down on it here in Wisconsin are in fact doing it so in our state. But this is happening around the country. It's part of a concerted effort around the nation. And that speech was met with, oh, should he have gone that far? And the very next day, within 24 hours, the Republican gubernatorial candidate in Wisconsin is calling for specifically pitchforks and torches. That was a quote from Tim Michaels.
To figure a speech, you know, like the olden
That's
times.
That's what they're trying to downplay
like
it as now.
Frankenstein. Remember Frankenstein?
There was, come on. Hey, Brian and I reference Frankenstein on this show quite frequently.
Come on.
And Michael Gableman, I believe, is off in a cushy job now with the Thomas More Society. So when we're referring to Frankenstein's monster, that's a slightly different aspect. But the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville that really set off Joe Biden on his entire run for the presidency in 2020, that rally is what Joe Biden has referenced as the reason why he ran for president. And that's when there were literal tiki torches in the rally. And so to use the rhetoric like pitchforks and torches, I don't think it's just a figure of speech. And this is because he's upset. Tim Michaels is upset with media outlets reporting on the donations that he's made in the past. Again, I will remind you, Tim Michaels, a businessman. He wants to portray himself as a political outsider, but he's ran for office before. He ran for state senate against Scott Fitzgerald in 1998. He ran for U.S. Senate, got the Republican nomination for that in 2004, and got his clock cleaned by then-incumbent Senator Russ Feingold. And so he's ran for office before, but he doesn't have a political record. What he does have, and thanks to the very little campaign finance laws that we still have left that we can get some of the reporting on these tax forms, there is a donation history. There is a history of past donations that we can reference to see where Tim Michaels has put his money when it comes to political giving and giving to organizations. He wants to classify it as charitable giving. That's what it was. And some of that did qualify as that. Going to cancer research that is vital. And making sure that we can address pediatric and other types of cancer is very important. Where you Wisconsinites and Wisconsin voters can draw the distinction is where the other advocacy groups and the organizations that Tim Michaels had put his money, you can call that out without that being a hit piece. The Journal Sentinel has a duty to Wisconsinites in reporting where Tim Michaels has given his foundations has given money. And so after those that reporting, after the speech from President Joe Biden asking Americans to really understand if we ignore the threats to democracy, we're not doing ourselves any favor, and to turn down the rhetoric, and he called for civility last Thursday in Philadelphia. And the very next day, because of the reporting from the Journal Sentinel and other outlets across Wisconsin, Tim Michaels and his campaign were calling for pitchforks and torches. And this is a piece, this is from the piece written up by Scott Bauer at the Associated Press. The Republican candidate for governor in Wisconsin, endorsed by Donald Trump, is calling for people to take up, quote, pitchforks and torches in reaction to a story that detailed his giving to anti-abortion groups, churches, and others, rhetoric that Democrats say amounts to threatening violence. I mean, I don't think that that's just Democrats saying that. I think a lot of people, if you asked, if you're referencing people picking up pitchforks and torches, you're asking them to join the angry mob, and you're stirring up that anger and hatred. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to get more into this piece as well as your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You're listening on Devil Radio in Madison, the Shaw in Waukesha, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. If you want to share your thoughts, share your tangent at any time during the hour. 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He is playing Superman at an undisclosed location this afternoon, so you're stuck with Luke and Evan. He's on the board. You on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're listening on Civic Media across our network of stations here in Wisconsin. And, yeah, so pitchforks and torches. That's what the Republican gubernatorial candidate was calling for on Friday, right before the Labor Day weekend. And I don't know if this is just something that he believed would get swept under the rug because of the holiday weekend. It's just wasn't going to get picked up, would be reported on Friday, and kind of exist in that Friday news dump. But we've got some breaking news from the Evers administration on what he would propose. I guess this would be from the Evers campaign, not the Evers administration. Let me clarify that. Because he's promising a pretty huge investment in our public schools is what his campaign priority would be if reelected. But before we dive a little bit more into that story, we're going to head over to the phone lines. Our friend here in Madison, Joe in Madison. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Well, I'm so glad that you guys have focused on this story from Tim Michaels, because it's quite illustrative of what this the character is of our Republican candidate for governor. Here we have a paper that accurately reported on what the man gave in donations. You know, he never says, no, I didn't give this money, or they have the numbers wrong, or I would never give to this group. He gave to these various groups because he cared about it. And if he didn't want his name associated with it, he could have donated anonymously. He did not. He had his name associated with these groups because he supports them. And so his reaction is to say, pitchforks and torches, what are you going to burn down the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel offices? What are you going to stab the editor with your pitchfork? I mean, what kind of two-year-old meltdown is this? If he can't handle the truth, boy, you better not be going to that particular elective office. This isn't, you know, this isn't his daddy's company where he gets to call all the shots. This is a situation where he's going to be under the microscope. And this is an excellent example of how he reacts, which is to not say that this is inaccurate, but instead to suggest violence because people bothered to report the truth on his activities. He never said it wasn't true. He just doesn't like the truth to be out there. Well, you could have donated anonymously if that's what he wanted to do, but no. I just think it is so revealing of his character. He just doesn't expect people to act in a normal way, which is to report the truth about this candidate running for the top elective office in our state.
Yeah, and it's very, I mean, it's shocking to me that this is how he's reacting, because it really seems that this is his campaign and he himself is just not ready for this. Because Republicans want to be able to say, oh, well, we can give unlimited contributions to any organization we want because it's freedom of speech. We have the freedom to be able to make these large donations. And he doesn't have a political record. He has twice attempted to run for office, and he has failed both of those times. And so there are there's very little that you can point to of what the type of governor Tim Michaels would be if elected. And therefore, you have to go into things like donations and where he's put his money, because very much like when you ask an elected official where their priorities are, you should be looking at their budget. When you ask a candidate for office that's never actually held that elected office before, you don't have a past budget or past votes to be able to look at. You have to look at where you can assess their values lie. And their values lie with where they donate their funds, especially when you have a small fortune. $250,000 in 1 year alone, that's a lot of money. That's money that I cannot donate and many Wisconsinites cannot donate in the blink of an eye. But still, that was money that was donated by Tim Michaels and his family foundation. And therefore, the very aspect of it being reported on is apparently a hit job, according to the Michaels campaign. The news outlets in the state of Wisconsin shouldn't even bring up his contributions. They would like you to just take the talking points that he's spouting. It's just platitudes. We don't know who Tim Michaels is. Brian points out it all the time. His ads are him driving around in a truck with a partially unshaven face. And he wants to appeal as this everyman kind of guy. That's the attitude and persona that he wants to embody and what he wants Republican voters and voters, I guess, in general now, because he's beyond the primary. He wants Wisconsin voters to think that he's just some everyday guy, driving his truck around Wisconsin, even though he has a penthouse suite in Manhattan and a Connecticut mansion that is where he actually resides, I guess, 180 days out of the year, not 183, or 85, I guess, if you want to divide it that way. But he's got this persona that he just wants the media to report on that. He doesn't want you to go into his campaign contributions or his donations from his foundation, because doesn't everybody just have that? Come on, Evan. Don't you have $250,000 laying around that's where you throw your money once
a year? I'm reticent to admit it, but hey, you caught me. Yes, buddy. You need some cash. You need a little cash?
Yeah,
you
man.
Need some cash, buddy?
Yeah. I can always use some cash. Why not?
Let's meet in by the dumpster.
Okay.
After work.
There we go. But this is not something that every Wisconsinite can just dole out. It is ridiculous to think that this is a hit job or anything other than that. It's the media reporting on who one of the two major party candidates are going up to be governor this November. Like, it is shocking. But I alluded to the story here, and it broke this morning. Evers announcing today that he is proposing a $2 billion increase in public school funding. Now, this comes after he has proposed a tax cut. For right now, he didn't go as far as calling a special session, but the state in recent weeks increased their projection for the end of the fiscal year budget to have a surplus of more than $5 billion. And now he's proposing to take $2 billion of that and invest it in public schools if reelected governor. So that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. We're going to dive into that proposal a little bit more after this break, as well as getting to your phone calls. I see the callers lining up. I'm going to get to you on the other side of this break, but 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but got Evan screening your calls and running the board, and you on the phone lines. So we'll be right back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He's in an undisclosed location. Unless you're watching on the video stream, then you may or may not know where Brian's undisclosed location is and where he's playing Superman or Batman today, whichever he prefers. I feel like Bruce Wayne has definitely got a better alter ego than Clark Kent. But maybe that's just me.
I don't know. Especially in the newest adaptation. Isn't he like a stalker creep?
I didn't watch the newest Batman.
Oh, man.
I didn't watch
no spoilers, but I hear he's a real piece of work, Bruce Wayne.
From what I saw of that, it looked kind of like that you could deduct that from
Bruce
from the promos and stuff. No, I've always been a Marvel guy, not a DC guy. So the Batman Begins trilogy, that one was good. Dark Knight, I guess the trilogy, that's what it was. Batman Begins.
I don't know. Dark Knight. You know,
Dark
that's
Knight
a
Rises,
special movie, you right? know.
Those ones are good. I like that one. That was just quality standalone three movie trilogy. But Marvel is head above. Dude, yeah? What? Oh, get out of here.
No, I thought I was on your side, man. I'm faking it. Let me be clear. Not a comic book guy. I'm not a comic book guy, but I just don't follow it. I don't know anything. I'm a baby.
See, this is the golden age right now of if you do like comics, like the Marvel is just putting on a
masterclass
seminar, whatever you want to call it. It is just excellent. So much content out there to watch right now and keep up with. So I can understand that if you're not really big on it, then it can be a little overwhelming. But that's kind of a side tangent, as you may tune in for here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but you on the phone lines, 844-967-2. Excuse me, let me restart that. 844-967-2789. It is a Tuesday that feels like a Monday, folks, and I apologize about that. But we are getting back into the headlines of what we may have missed over the long Labor Day weekend. But before we get back to those headlines, we're going to get over to the phone lines. We got our friend here in Madison, Betsy, calling in. Betsy, how you doing today?
Just great. Glad you guys are back and working for Wisconsin. You know, I just want to thank you guys for just getting the message out there. This is just vitally important. The hypocrisy of Tim Michaels, you know, he should be a proud Catholic and embrace his religion because that's his faith, right? Even though it's not right for women's autonomy, you know, and he's a man and he doesn't understand that, but he does have daughters. So, I mean, you know, and that's their shtick. But, you know, that's the freedom of our country. But, you know, I just want to give Governor Evers so much credit because I can't tell you how much more pleasant my life has been growing up here in Wisconsin and then going through Skywalker and then having Tony Evers come home and just kind of settle us down, because this is who we are. We are Tony Evers. We are good people. We always say Wisconsin nice. Skywalker turned us nasty. Pitchforks and torches time. Tim Michaels is not right for Wisconsin. And not only that, he doesn't even live in Wisconsin. And Skywalker was not born in Wisconsin, but Tony Evers was. And what he's doing for our schools and just everything that he's done during this pandemic and stuff, no one could do it better. If a Republican or Scott Walker, you know, won the election, you can bet a lot more people would be dead. And I'm sad for Tim Michaels that he's just, I don't know, it's got to be their playbook, this pitchforks and torches time, because we heard it from Sheriff David Clark years ago. So, you know, it's so important that we all get out and vote, and we vote what's right for Wisconsin. And Tim Michaels is totally wrong. Totally wrong.
Betsy,
we got to get the... So, I love you guys. Yep.
Bye. Oh, and we love you too, Betsy. And do you believe that... we lost her before I could ask the question. But I truly believe, and I have a feeling that she would have answered that she did believe that the Pitchforks and Torches comments wasn't just rhetoric, that it was a call to violence. Because why else use terminology like that? That here in Wisconsin, as Betsy alluded to, former Milwaukee Sheriff David A. Clark used that rhetoric when referring to get ginning up political support, and it is something that the right has been using. And it's not a term to be thrown around lightly. It just isn't. And the fact that is his knee jerk reaction to any any reporting on his political or charitable, as he wants to refer to them, donations. And when the organizations are working to achieve anti-abortion and anti-LGBT motives, like that is what the organizations that Tim Michaels donated to goals are. Yes, you can classify them as Catholic or other religious organizations, but and if he was a private citizen, all the power to him. Go take that East Coast fortune and sit from your East Coast mansion and donate to the organizations that you want to donate to. But don't think that those are out of bounds or something that cannot be discussed when you want to throw your name into the ring for running the state of Wisconsin. It's not a hit job to report on your political contributions. I do not understand how the right has tried to classify themselves as the keepers and the defenders of the free speech. And then as soon as what the actual First Amendment, the right to free press, goes out and reports on you, you call it a hit job? What kind of snowflake are you?
No, oh, we know the kind. We know the kind.
Like, honestly, have a different response. And that's what Donald Trump has been referring to the press and the media as an enemy of the people for years now. And that is just the knee-jerk reaction for Tim Michaels to go to is, oh, this is a smear job.
Smear job.
Smear job. This is a hit piece. Well, what's in the hit piece? Oh, they're detailing the donations that you made from your private family foundation. Okay. So sorry that we hurt your feelings. If you didn't actually believe in donating those, then you should have made those donations. If you're upset and you think that's a hit on your character for reporting on contributions that you made to organizations, maybe you shouldn't be donating to those organizations then, I guess.
Hit job equates to, you know, being accountable for just what you say and do.
It just reminds me of I think it's a clip from Reno 911, or it was something with Nick Schwartz where he's sitting on the ground and he's like, I need to report a murder.
Yes, 100%. He's got those great little hot shorts on, his roller skates. Oh, yes. Iconic.
Reporting a murder, the individual is saying. It just doesn't make any, it's a meme. It's comical how thin this attack is, but a lot of Wisconsinites and a lot of Americans around the country accept this rhetoric. They believe that it's time to go grab their pitchforks and torches. After there was rhetoric about the FBI needing to be defunded and that the FBI was attacking the former president by going through, I'm trying to figure it wasn't a raid, because you can't refer to it as raid. It was a legally authorized search through court order.
Thank you.
Of Mar-a-Lago.
Yes.
And then the right wants to go, oh, you got to defund the FBI. And a man literally showed up at the FBI office in Cincinnati and started shooting. That is where this rhetoric, the pitchfork and torches rhetoric, that's where it leads to. And Tim Michaels doesn't care that that's where it leads. He wants to gin up that anger. And that is what he's trying to do with statements like this when the Journal Sentinel and other outlets here in Wisconsin report on his contributions. Going back to the phone lines, you can be like our friend Jeannie from Eau Claire. Jeannie, how you doing today?
Good. It sure was wonderful to hear Betsy's voice. I've missed her, and I really love her comments. And, you know, we may be dumb, but we're not stupid in Wisconsin. You know, liars and frauds usually show their true colors when they're called out on their actions. So So his response to this is what you're going to get when you have a governor, you know, and this is a fraudulent guy who makes his living off Foxconn debacle, unwanted dirty pipelines that have no, you know, and they have no business sitting in the governor's office of our great state of Wisconsin. We've had enough liars and frauds in the White House. We don't need any more since Walker to come back in again. Just like Betsy said, our governor who's lived here forever, who really cares about the people, who works every day that he's been in office, unlike the Republicans who work a few months and then take off the rest of the year and get paid for it. Our governor works every day for us. And Tony Evers is an outstanding man, gentleman, and he definitely is not a liar and a fraud. And thank you guys for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeannie, and we appreciate you calling in. You can be like Jeannie, 844-967-2789. And that gets back to the piece that we said the headline over at the Wisconsin State Journal, written up by Mitchell Schmidt, but we haven't really gotten into it yet. And that is Governor Tony Evers on Tuesday unveiled plans to spend nearly $2 billion in state funding on public schools in areas like literacy, staffing, and mental health services, a proposal the Democratic governor plans to push next year if reelected to a second term this fall. Continuing on in the piece, Evers' proposal for the 2023-2025 biennial budget, which would tap into a portion of Wisconsin's projected $5 billion state budget surplus, comes almost 2 months before his November 8th matchup with Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels. The plan would also need to be approved by the GOP-led legislature next year in order to go into effect. And this is a quote from Evers. Budgets are about priorities, and that's why building our biennial budget always begins for me with what's doing best for our kids. And we know our kids, families, and schools need our help now more than ever to get caught up, get more educators and staff in our classrooms, and ensure every kid has the support and resources they need to be successful. So this policy and budget proposal announcement comes just a matter of weeks after the Evers administration said that it would be investing an additional $90 million into K-12 public schools ahead of this school year. Last week, the Evers administration said that $75 million of that $90 million is going to go towards staffing up classrooms, and the other $15 million going towards addressing mental health services for children returning to the classrooms about two and a half years now into the COVID-19 pandemic. COVID's not going away. And we're going to see that again, too, so this fall. I'm sure of it. With the trends that we've been seeing of these variants, COVID is something that we are going to... We're in.
It's a leading cause of death over this last 2 years.
Yeah, it's the number one reason why the life expectancy has decreased two consecutive years, first time since World War II, that has happened for America. And so COVID is still going to be a problem, and being able to adapt to that and these kids having to go back into the classroom, and they're, I'm sure, between staffing shortages and COVID spikes, there's going to be in and out of virtual learning. It's going to happen on a district by district basis because the Wisconsin legislature refuses to actually address these problems and fund the more resources, even though we have a $5 billion budget surplus. And so the mental health services of that aspect is huge. $15 million of that proposal from last week going towards that. And so this is on top of that. The Evers administration not only has proposed doing something and working and trying to address the issues with a middle-class tax cut and an investment in education, and using more American Rescue Plan funds, the $90 million last week, to address staffing shortages and mental health needs of school districts. And now he's showing that of that $5 billion surplus, he wants about 40% of that to be invested into our public schools. Because in my opinion, and from the governor's proposal, it's a good plan to invest into our public schools. You can't complain about the problems without actually proposing a solution to address those problems. Well, I guess you can, but if you're one of those individuals that's on a 10-month state vacation, I believe that's who would be complaining about the problems without actually addressing them. That would be the Wisconsin GOP-led legislature, if you missed it. They've been on recess from the legislative sessions since the first week of March. So pretty good work if you can find it, but not going to be addressing these problems that Wisconsin faces, Evers administration still working on trying to see what they could do with that $5 billion budget surplus. Sure that there would not be anything close to $2 billion of investment in our public schools from the Republican side. But it's hard to know because a lot of them, they're just running for re-election. That's about it. Maybe get some constituent services, but it's a hard time to get any of them on the phone. You can give us a call, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents on Civic Media. We'll be back for one more segment today. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this afternoon, that's okay. We got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. Now, we got a couple of quick stories here that I want to get to, but before we get to those, we're going to go to our friend Mark in Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up again that the Republicans are on vacation.
I think it's important to talk about it, Mark, because if you ask a lot of Wisconsinites and Wisconsinites that will be going to the polls this November, it's not something that every voter is aware of. And to me, I don't understand how it's not talked about more.
And it should be stressed that while they are on vacation, they are enjoying full health care benefits like any other state employee, and also the state is kicking in toward their pensions. Like so many citizens of the state of Wisconsin do not have, that the Republicans have refused to take any kind of action at all on, to try to set up some kind of pension parallel pension system for regular people that parallels what the state is able to provide for its state workers. I mean, these guys, they're self-serving and nothing but self-serving. They have served themselves and done nothing but serve themselves for it. At least since Scott Walker, took office, because that Scott Walker used his position as governor, and even before that, used his position in furtherance of his political career. That joker thought he was going to be president of the United States, and he should be lucky to be president of some golf club association because he's completely unqualified to do anything. But now he's
got a cushion job as the Young Americans Foundation, and so it's definitely as State Senate President Chris Kapenga said in last month, he referred to the Wisconsin legislature as part time, that they can't do anything too close to an election because they don't want it to appear political, but he completely ignored reality in the actual fact that the Wisconsin legislature is full-time. They are full-time employees. They are one of a handful of legislators around the country that are actually full-time, not part-time. And so he goes out on the Sunday shows and tries to say and lead voters to believe that the legislature is part-time. So what they're doing is just natural. That's how it's supposed to be. Ignoring the fact that they just haven't done anything that their job title, legislators, actually would imply they do since the first week of March.
Oh, but they're working remotely. I get that one on occasion,
They're working remotely doing what?
That's
not,
what I'm
they're
saying.
They're not in session.
No, they are not in session. They are not working remotely.
No. And so they should be called out on a regular and consistent basis for that. Because anytime you hear them complaining about a problem or complaining that the Evers administration is bad leadership for the state of Wisconsin, whatever talking points they want to throw out there, they're ignoring the fact that their leadership is just to not address any problems for 10 out of the 12 months of the year. That's their leadership. That is the Republican-led Wisconsin legislature's leadership model right now. No legislative sessions after the first week of March. Sorry, they can't be bothered to actually address the problems Wisconsinites elect them to do. But, when you don't have to face the political ramifications of that because you got some pretty heavily gerrymandered, if not the most gerrymandered maps in the nation, you can get away with stuff like that. One of the things talked about hotly over the last couple weeks since the Biden administration made the announcement of student loan forgiveness, there's been a lot of right-wing pundits and just regular people saying, oh, that's not fair. It's not fair. And you see a lot of amplification of this fairness application to the debt forgiveness, the student debt forgiveness the Biden administration did. And now we can actually look to some science and somewhat reliable polling around this issue, because outside of this, up until now, you know, when something immediately happens, all you can do is anecdotal evidence. You can amplify certain voices out there. You can hear what pundits are saying, but you don't really get a good snapshot of where actual voters are. And so this Navigator poll was conducted through August 26th to the 31st. Since the announcement, it was 1,000 registered voters conducted this polling. And Evan, I don't know if this will shock you or not, but the headline from the Navigator poll, 3 in 5 Americans support Biden's student loan forgiveness plan.
Who'd have thunk it?
It's pretty popular, it turns out.
Yeah. And honestly, aside from, you know, just the knee-jerkers, you know, Biden sucks. Besides
the people already flying, yeah, let's go Brandon flags.
I understand some reticence, right? I understand asking questions about stuff like this. I understand why people could be, you know, hesitant to just get on board. It seems pretty intense considering, you know, how the government often doesn't do a lot. So honestly, I get it. You know, I like to see people asking these questions.
So this was the question asked by the poll. As you know, the Biden administration announced it will be canceling up to $10,000 in federal student loan debt for borrowers who make less than $25,000 a year. Do you support or oppose this proposal? And the margins, like I said in the headline, 3 out of 5, but it's pretty popular across a lot of different demographics. So it's a 60-36 split, a 24-point gap for a support versus oppose. Among Democrats, 84% support, 12% oppose. Among independents, 57% support, 36% oppose. And then among Republicans, 32% support and 63% oppose. So even a third, roughly, of Republicans support the Biden administration's plan. Obviously, that would be the third of Republican voters that also have student loan debt, because it's not a partisan thing. Republicans and Democrats alike have student loan debt. And so there are millions of Wisconsinites and even more Americans that have been trapped in this burdensome debt that in a lot of practices was predatory. And you're paying off your monthly payment and you're still stuck with even more debt than you originally took out in some cases. And so relief on this aspect is not something that I think anybody has to shy away from these numbers. 24% gap between support and oppose from this Navigator poll. And so obviously there's going to be a lot more polling out between now and the coming weeks on this issue, because it's still relatively new. This is one of the first polls that I saw that was conducted on the topic. And I have a feeling our friends over at the Marquette University Law School are going to be doing polling on this here in September and in October. And so there is definitely going to be more to analyze, debate, argue about on this topic. But initial reactions are it's popular. And so much needed relief for a lot of student loan borrowers. Just one more thing that the Biden administration has been knocking up in its column of wins, in my opinion, from this very, very productive summer, between getting the Inflation Reduction Act signed, forgiving some student debt, making the first gun reforms to the nation's gun laws in 30 years, passing a bipartisan chips manufacturing bill, and reauthorizing some health care for the burn pit victims from our veterans. It's been a very busy summer. But folks, beyond Labor Day now, and all eyes are on November. So get ready. It's going to be a long haul between now and then. You've been listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.